Welcome to the Building Church. At the Building Church, we are committed to raising up people of balanced stature for Jesus in all phases of life. Join God's servant, Pastor Jeremiah James, as he brings the word with clarity, grace, and truth.
Please, can I read again? The grace, yes. Of who? Who is the owner of the grace we are celebrating here? And the word? And the word? Communion and sharing together and participation in who? Alright, so here we are seeing the Godhead. We are seeing Jesus, we are seeing God, and we are seeing the Holy Spirit. There is no way any person can grow outside of the Godhead. Yes, so say spiritual growth. That you are present to is to be like Jesus. Glory to God. Can you return me to the hand? Just coming back. Glory to God. All right. So the Bible is saying the grace, yes, favor and spiritual blessing of who? And the love of who? And the presence and fellowship. And I'm saying here that there is no way you can measure growth outside of the Godhead. You cannot measure spiritual growth outside of the Godhead. Now, we saw in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, that we can actually grow in grace. Glory to God. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it said, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. So, it's not pointing only to our Lord, it's pointing us to our Savior. So, what it implies is that that journey started from Savior and then it ended in Lord. And that is why if you check the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Matthew 7, 21, he said, not everyone who says. So it's easy to say, Lord, Lord, we enter into the kingdom of God, but only he who does. Who does? So if it is your Savior, he has saved you. But it takes him being Lord, not just by saying, but by doing. It takes him being Lord, not just by saying. So you can say, Lord, 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 put in the capital letters, do a man of gymnastic and all man of drama, singing Lord. It is grace that helps you to do. Why? Because in Titus chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, Titus 2, 10 and 11, give me verse 11 because of our time. Just let's go to 11. Our Savior attracted. He said, for the grace of who God that brings salvation has appeared unto him. Verse 12, what is it teaching us to do? He said, he teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly life in the present age. So what it implies is that a feedback that you have grown in grace is that you can say no. And you are not saying no on the strength of you saying no. You are saying no on the strength of you saying Lord. Because you saying Lord will make you do. You saying Lord will make you do. Lord, 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 we make you do, not just by saying. So, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, a feedback that you are really growing, actually, is that you grow in grace. That the things you could not say no to before, 5 years ago, before you gave your life to Christ, after you gave your life to Christ, you can say no to them. So much so that even you look at and say, this is not me. Amy, Jinkuzi, Jacuzzi. Amy. I'm the one they are hiding pot from. Pot. That by prophecy, we used to know where they kept the soup of pot. You understand? Demonic prophecy, actually. That your parent thought that they have hidden the thing inside cupboard. And then all of a sudden, your nose all of a sudden just became too sensitive. Then something is calling you to go there. And now, you are the same person that you are sitting in front of something and you are not touching it. The reason is because grace has taught you to say. Yeah, grace has taught you to say no. Go back to that. Grace has taught you to say no. Titus 2, 12. Grace have taught you to say no. 12. He said, he teaches us to say no to ungodliness. To ungodliness. It's not a Gen Z thing. Where can we see men now? Where can we see men now? That will not ask for sex. What are you saying? Where are you seeing those kind of men, Gansel? That's the first question. And where can we see men now? Come to church. Come to the building church. You will see men. Who said yes, sir? He's part of the men. You will see men because the other men are not sure of themselves. They can't say yes, sir. I said you will see men. Any person that is not talking, if they ask you, don't look at their side. I said you will see men. Ah! I said you will see men. Okay, don't worry. For those of you that think you are boys, you are men too. Glory to God. What does the grace tell us to? What does it teach us to say? To what? What again? And what again? And to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, in this Gen Z age. The grace of God can teach you to say no. It's not what the society is saying. So a proof that you have grown, that you are growing spiritually, is that the things you could not say no to before, you begin to say no to them. Yes, you can say no to some things. So, and that is on the strength of grace. And that is not coming on the strength of grace alone. It's coming on the strength of Lord. That is the grace that comes from the Lordship of Jesus. That can teach you to say no. That return that thing is not yours. Most times when we give our life to Christ, to start with, when they ask you to share two things, and then you give the best to the other party, that thing is killing your flesh, actually. If you do not do that when you give your life to Christ, I may have issue with you. Because you are not training your body. You are not training yourself. You train yourself to say no. There are many things that after you give your life, that's, there is distinction between the person that is saved and the person that is not saved. That they can trace a grace that is working your life in you. This person, we know him. But now he has changed. Are we still on the same page? So what does the grace tell us to say? No to what? Worldly passions. Worldly passion. There is football tonight. And there is church tonight. And that grace did not come to you. You have not grown up. You can be a man and still be a boy. Hope you know that most times, take for instance, if you hold chocolate and you hold $100 in front of a child, please, what would the child pick? Chocolate. $100. Do you know what $100 is? $100 will go and buy a carton. You know, a carton of that chocolate. But a child will pick chocolate. I hope you know that while you are there, you are just laughing at it. That is the same way God is doing to some of your choices. The ball that they will still win them. They will still beat him. He will argue in the football show. He chose it over getting blessed by his own when his word is in church. So he said he will teach you to also say no to worldly passion and then to live a self-controlled life. He said it's the work of the devil, the work of the devil. Then the devil is like, Baba, I was not even there that day. Me, I was busy in Maduguri. I was trying to settle things in Samisa Forest. When this guy is claiming that it's my work, that guy life set control. They're upright and godly lives in this present age. My prayer for you is that may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be evident in your life. Amen. That it will not just show that he's your Savior, it will show that he's your Lord. In the name of Jesus. I say in the name of Jesus. So we establish that on grace. And then we move to the love. 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 Give me that 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3 very quickly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3. So we are going to continue on the pathway of love. Somebody say love. Say love of God. Love of God. Glory to God. Give it to me in KJV, please. Give this to me in KJV, and then you give me James chapter 2, verse 26 later on. Please can we read this together? Remembering with us is in your word. Your word. Are we feeling cold? All right, can we read like people that are not feeling cold? 2, 3, go. Remembering with us is in your word. Your word. Your walk of faith. And your word. And your word. In the sight of and our Father. So what the scripture is saying is that everywhere you see work, what should follow? Everywhere you see love, what should follow? Anywhere you see hope, what should follow? Glory to God. Now, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, very quickly, Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Please, can we read this together? 2, 3, go. To the angel of the church in where? Do what? These are the words of who holds the in his. Let's go to verse 2 very quickly. Yes, I know your and your. Give thee to me in KJV. KJV, I'm still with KJV. I know your word and thy word and your word. So here, according to where we are coming from, works is related with word. Labor is related with word. Patience is related with what? Hope. So here again, these three guys are resurfacing. Work, but now they did not put faith there. They did not put love. They did not put faith there. They did not put love. They did not put hope. Until we get to verse 4. Verse 4 now said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. He did not mention love from where we are reading from. He mentioned labor. So what it implies is that if they had left their first love, they left their first. If they had left their first love, they left their first. Now, give me James chapter 2, verse 26. Give me James 2, 26 in NIV. Then you give it to me in MSG. Now, please, can we read this together? As the body without the spirit is what? So faith without. Now, this is what NIV says. Please give me to in KJV also. Give me to in KJV before going to MSG. Give it to me in KJV before going. Perfect. Please, can we read this together? For as the body without the spirit is, so faith without. Faith without work, what happened to it? Faith without work, what happened to it? So, if faith without work is dead, what other two things can we replace faith and work with there? From where we are coming from? Labor and love. What other thing again? So let's read it first with faith, then love, then hope. Can we get on the same page? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so what? Love. Okay, let's have faith. So faith without is. Now, can we go to love now? For as the body without the spirit is, so. You will understand it. I love people. I love my neighbor. I love kingdom. You will understand now. The way we define love is by the labor that is attached to the love. The way we define faith is by the works that is attached to the faith. Now, let's put hope there, please. For as the body without the spirit is, so hope without is dead also. Why? Because from where we are coming from, the Bible says in that 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, he said, remembering without ceasing your work of and your labor of and your patience of. Then in Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, he says what? He said, I know thy and thy and thy. In other words, now, if we don't want to use the word works there, what can we put there? I know thy and thy and thy. Now, if we now go back to that Revelation chapter 2, James chapter 2, verse 26 again, James 2, 26. He said, for as the body without the spirit is, so faith without work is. So, what is love going to be without labor? It's going to be. Now, give it to me in MSG so that we can understand it more in non-English. Now, please, can we read this together? He said, the very moment you separate your. And You and what? The most, you separate your what? And spirit. You end up with what? And separate faith and you get the same thing. Now, if you are separating faith and work, what other thing can you also separate? Labor and love, right? So if you separate love and labor, please, what do you get? So when you are talking about, I love the Lord, I love you, Lord, or whatever, whatever, the only way we humans can see it is by your labor. Okay, let me ask you. Can you see love? Love, that is, you now say this is love. It's somebody's name. If it's somebody's name, that is a human being. I'm not talking about love. Love is abstract. You can't see it. But there are some things that can make you see love. Take, for instance, how many of you did chemistry? How many of you can see those gases that you are, the oxygen? How many of us have seen oxygen before? A live oxygen moving around the street. Any of us? Raise your hand. But hope you know that in chemistry, I remember more of those chemistry. I think there's some one that did Pope Sand or something like that. Eh? The people that did chemistry, now everybody's not pretending as if they are listening to me. I'm talking to people that did chemistry. Eh? The Pope Sand or something like that. Yes. What? Which gas is that? What of rotting egg or something like that? Eh? Polycyanin. According to them. According to what they are saying, just believe them at your own detriment. Because everybody is saying different things. Some people say hydrogen sulfur. Some people are saying hydrogen sulfur. But no problem. Whether it's sulfur or it's still alive, any of the hydrogen, provided you can, the only way you can know gas, do you know how many gases in the atmosphere? The only way you can trace which gas it is that they have some attributes you can trace them to. The same way with love. Have you ever seen a young man in love? That is a young man that his heart is a heart of a lion. The nurse discovered his mumu button. One of the reasons, take for instance, as we are all sitting there, and one way we will know that Pastor Samir is in love. You see where he even stood up? Like, I'm the one. Please be seated. Take for instance, I grew up with three elder sisters that are far ahead of me. I knew when they were in love. Hi. It was the labor of love. Some of them bought clothes that they did not buy for me, for somebody. I am not taking it personal, I'm just saying it. They did not have money, yet they bought good clothes that I would have used as Christmas clothes. For a bubble. And do you know the irony? One of the things I also discovered with that love that came with them is we could not advise them any longer. Let me help you. The same way we use physical things to explain, the spiritual. This one that somebody is advising you out of labor for God. You have not involved your emotion yet. You see, it's difficult. You see, there are some things that are difficult. One of the, in fact, the Bible says the way of a maiden. There are three things in Proverbs. Let me look at it. That are not the way of a man with a maiden. The Bible says we can't understand it. And it's coming from Solomon after 1,000 women. Yes, in Proverbs. I think Proverbs, maybe Proverbs 30. I think Proverbs 30 said plenty things are not whatever. Maiden, just look for him. Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30 verse 19. Can you see this now? He said the way of an eagle. No, go back to 18 first actually. Go back to 18. He said there are three things that are too amazing for me. Four that I do not understand. Number one, the way of an eagle in the sky. Number two, the way of a snake on the rock. Number three, the way of a sheep on the seas. And the way of a man with a maiden. Now wait. Actually, go back. Go back. This scripture, what he's saying is not as if the four of them are confusing. It's just the first three are amazing. The last one, he do not understand. Yes, that's what the scripture is actually saying. So that last one, he said, no understand. Go back. For an emeritus in love, To say that once a man is in love, that we know they understand the guy again. He said, and the way of a man with a maiden, we know they get up. Is I do not understand. After 1,000 women. Because hope you know that in Proverbs 30, his life was almost ending. He has come close to his death. So he has seen all of them, all the women. And he said, the way of a maiden with, the way of a man with a maiden, go hear me. So this is what it implies. If truly you love with God, we can't perceive it as, this is love for God. This is love for God. We see it in your labor. Ad used to say that this man, he has the heart for God. He loved God, he loved God. He is in his labor. Whether in the rain or is not an NYC song. It's supposed to be a spiritual song. Whether in the rain or in the valley or something like that. Nigeria will always be. I've even forgotten the song. My wife said, oh God, no, not again. These people, they are the one. So, if you are not going to say that song, they will teach you. When they're in the rain or in the sun or something like that. In dedication and righteousness. Okay, selflessness. Okay. Don't allow me to spoil the song. But I know it. But for the purpose of this sermon, let's just proceed. That song you people sang, that is what's supposed to be your commitment. Whether in the rain. You know, that song, they are not supposed to sing it under a closed roof. No. That song should exist outside. Hope you know that when a man is in love, actually, even if it's raining brimstone, he will find his way outside. The lady says it's raining. He says, ah, if I don't endure the rain, how will we rain together? So he's enduring. he's enduring a rain, low hero. But let it make thunder and lightning. Just it has no rain, no. Just listening. For him to come to church, he will say it's raining cat and dog around his area. Cat and dog. Yet, when you are writing an exam, it was raining dragon and lion. You still find your way to the exam hall. You did not tell them that, please, me, I want to repeat this class because it's raining cat and. It means that your priority has actually chosen itself. So, the Bible is saying that once you separate faith and work, what you are going to have is corpse. You say, when you also now separate love and labor, you will have the same thing. The only way we can know, we that are human beings can know, the litmus test or whatever test we can do to show us that you actually love God is the labor with which we can see it. Now, I want to quickly say, there's the difference between the love of God and your love for God. Yes. You see, there is a blessing you receive for the love of God. That is salvation. Every other blessing that comes to you is on the strength of your love for God. Oh, you don't get that too. The love God has for all human beings is for him. He gave his son. That is the love for all of us. But when you respond back to that love, there are blessings that follow that love. I'm going to show us a few of them today. Are we on the same page? So one of the feedback, one of the major indicators that you are actually growing spiritually is going to show in your love for God. It's going to show in your love for God. Somebody say, it's going to show in my love for God. The way I even say answers. It says it's going to show you my love for God. Now, please let me show you this scripture. Holy Spirit, help us. So where should we start from? Okay, let's start like this. Okay, write this question down first, actually. I said, what are you willing to do because of love? That is the first thing. What are you willing to do because of love? Is there anybody that is bold enough that have done some foolish things in the name of love before and later realized it was foolish? And you want to share your story so you can celebrate your local government? I'm just joking, but I mean it. Any person that have done for love. It's not that, okay, not that foolish, but you just feel like, why? Let me see your hand now. Is it from this side? Everyone is now pretending as if they're joking. I've not said too much. Nobody is trying to raise their hand. Okay, no problem. Let me actually use myself and my wife as an example. When I knew that we were in love was when the man of God was doing chat GTP. Yeah, I think the first chat we did that was a preparation into our chatting was from, I think, 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. Yes, and you know the irony. As we were chatting and chatting and chatting, and chatting, none of us were tired. Do you not know the funniest, the highest irony was that it was because one of our battery died. I think it was your battery. You would know you have like Nasango. So it was because our battery died, and I remember it pained my wife so much that our battery is dying at that kind of moment. That was when the eyes of the man of God was opened that he's in love. The only thing that keep me awake till that kind of time is vigil. That I'm praying, Shaka, Tokina, Same Kale. But that another thing could do that, Ameka. I knew that Rebecca be going out. I knew that the man of God has hit jackpot in love affairs. And the woman of God was not left behind too. So there are feedbacks, there are things that we show. Take for instance, one I've often told people, I say any rich man that go to hellfire is foolish if he is saved. Jesus showed us the secret actually of how people should go to heaven. In Matthew 5. I think Matthew 5, verse 23, if I'm not incorrect. Matthew 5. John 24, actually. Or 21, let me see. I'm looking about for that place where it say treasure on earth. This is what happened. A man came to Jesus in the book of Mark and told him, what can I do to be saved? The man was very rich. What can I do to get eternal life? Jesus must say, go and sell your goods and bring the money and give to the poor. The Bible says he went back home sad because he had great riches. Do you know what happened? It's because his sense of worth is on earth. The question he came to ask Jesus actually was a question of eternal life. Where we lie, eternal life. If I want to, let me look at that in, I think, I don't know if it's, I think Mark's account is better for me. Mark's account actually. Mark's account is better for me because of what I want to point out. Yes, thank you. He said, and Jesus said unto him, hey, man, a good teacher, what must I do to be saved? Next verse, very quickly. Don't worry, I will still come back to this. He said, why do you call me good? Jesus answered, just next verse, 19, I think, let's start from 19. He said, you know the commandment. Do not murder, do not do this, do not do that, do not honor your father and your mother, all of that. Next verse. He said, teacher, I declare, I've kept this from a boy. Now, go back, please, go back. Go back to, 18. No, 18. Okay, is it 17? Where is that one that he asked the question? 17, please. Please, can we read this together again? What is the question he was asking Jesus? That is what he's asking, actually. His question was about eternal life. He was rich. He was not saying, what can I do to be prosperous? The question he was asking Jesus was about eternal life. Eternal life. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Now go. Go very quickly. Be fast. No, go. We are already in somewhere else now. I think 20. Jesus looked at him and loved him. He said to him, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Wait. Please, what was this question? What did that do to? What did Jesus ask him to do? He said, go and sell everything, and you have treasure where? This is the secret of making heaven. As a rich man, don't have treasure on it. Simple as that. Don't have treasure on it. Because as I am now, let me tell you, I'm also part of a rich man. If you reach heaven, I do not see me there. You are in there. I'm telling you the truth. That is not heaven. Because my commitment, my things that have entered into the kingdom, who would they give the reward if I'm in there? I'm not saying that it will qualify me to make hell heaven. No. That is by giving, because so I will balance it now. I'm not saying that your giving will make you make heaven. But where your treasure is, the Bible says that is where your heart is going to be. So if for any reason, because of all the things I have given as privilege into the kingdom, head up, even my reward is in heaven, it's not on earth. So why should I be in hell when my reward is in heaven? So Jesus is already showing us the secret of why many rich people are going to a fire. Because their treasure is not in heaven. Their treasure is on earth. And anywhere a man's heart is, that is where anywhere a man's treasure is, that is where his heart will be. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I was looking for that Matthew account actually, Matthew 5. Jesus was saying, store up for yourself treasure in heaven, where moth and whatever do not come and destroy, but store up for yourself treasure in heaven. So what it implies is that for where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Jesus told the man, go and sell everything you have and bring the money. Let's go and give the poor. Since when you are asking a question about eternal life? And do you know what the guy did in that next verse? I don't know why they're not giving me the Matthew's account. But just proceed to that Mark, please. Mark. He said, then come follow me. He said, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Next verse. He said, at this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had what? Next verse. Look at what Jesus now said. Jesus looked around and said to his disciple, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Many people used to quote this scripture. They don't know what is the preceding scripture. You know, quoting scripture out of context. You just wake up. I had the Bible. If they see a rich Christian, you come up with something like, the Bible already established that I had it is for a kingdom. I had it is for a rich man to make hellfire. It will be like Carmen. Read your Bible now. Sit down and read Bible. Sit down and study the scripture. Because this scripture now, people have twisted it. They just come and pick this out of context. Somebody came and he doesn't have insurance of eternal life. Jesus said, I know your problem. Your problem is that your treasures are on earth. If your treasure is in heaven, you won't be asking me this question. Now, all those things you have, go and sell them. And bring the money and give to the poor. The Bible says his face was sad. And then look at the next verse actually. Look at the next verse. Very quickly. Next verse. He said, the disciples were amazed at his word. Hey, please go back. Do you know what this means? Jesus, go back now. Go back. How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God was what Jesus said. Look at what the disciples did. The disciples were amazed at his word. Not the man's word, at Jesus' word. Ah, Baba, killing me. How do you mean that the rich is hard for the rich to enter heaven? Ah. They were amazed at his word. But Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. Next verse. Then Peter now, it's easier for, look at it, it's easier for whatever, for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, wait, oh, please. Oh. From this place, is it all the rich men that came to this place? Jesus was making reference to the rich man that was asking him the question. And said that this guy's heart is distorted. His heart is still towards earthly things. It's going to be difficult for any rich man whose true sense of what is on earth. It will be difficult for that man to enter heaven. They cannot give everything. Now, look at what Peter now said. Peter now immediately said, ah, next verse, very quickly. The disciples were more, even more amazed. The father, why are you saying this kind of thing? They were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Next verse, Jesus answered them. He said, with man, this is what? But with God, all things are what? Next verse, very quickly, Peter said to him, Peter now said, wow. Baba, Josa, we have left everything to follow you. See, that's why I love that. No, it's already too late. No, we will spend the billion. Yes, this is it. Everything I established last week, I said God did not give his son. That is not true. God gave his one and only son. And real sacrifice is measured by what you have after you have given. What you have left after you have given, that is the real measure of sacrifice. It's not that you gave large. Did you know that some of us are applauding you on earth based on the things which we are seeing that you are doing? Compared to what God is asking you to do, you are like the man that have 5 talents and you are trading with 2. Compared to other people that have 1, hope you know you will be doing a lot. Until the potential, because every person is giving according to his ability. Until we now come and show up and like, hey! Take for instance, you are self-employed, you have regulation on your timing, you have plenty of things you are supposed to do in church, and you are regulated, and you are thinking with somebody that closed by 6. So the person closing by 6 coming to church by 6:30, and you that are sitting at home playing PS, you also came by 7. No, God is going to measure it based on what you have left after you have given. So love for God is not abstract. Love is abstract, but love for God can be seen by your commitment. So they say, we have left everything to follow you. Look at what Jesus told him next. Immediately, yes. He said, next, who is this? Please help me now. Next verse. He said, we can. He said, I tell you the truth. Jesus replied, no one who has left home, brothers, or sisters, or mothers, or father, or children, or feet, for who? Wait. The next thing I want you to see is, it's not just for me alone. He said, and the gospel. I love God. We can see it by your love for the gospel. If you have left brother, you have left home. You have left everything for the gospel. You are the one that they say, wait, oh, this is not called for seed. But it's something we need to mention. You are the one that they say, church is building. there is the inaugural service. They are building things. Every person is coming to drop. You say, I love God. I love God. Then, you know, I'm not talking about school fees or something. Then that is the season that a certain amount comes to your hand. And then you're now inspired to perspire. And you went to buy chicken. And yam. How many of you have ever been in a house where maybe they contribute to make things happen? And if you buy anything, every person in the house will know. It's like my own house. So if for any reason you have money and the family is in need, then when I was growing up, if you have money and the family is in need, that your money has met the need, though. You are an answer prayer. You can't say you want to go and buy something. I remember severally when, take for instance, my school fees. Is everybody that used to contribute for my school fees when I'm going to school? Every person, provided you are working, provided you can have money, you are part of the people that will contribute. So you get. So this one will bring this one will bring that one, this one will bring this one as a contribution. If you have any goal that you want to achieve at the end of the whatever, you want to have at least 100 clothes in your box, that thing doesn't exist again. No. Why? Because a member of the family needs to go to school. So in this also context, it's not, I love God. How is he showing? For your love for the gospel. For your love for the gospel. He said, for me, hand the gospel. What did he say will now happen to the person? He said, we failed to receive 100 times. Can you see this? As much in the present age. Wait. What it implies that God, this thing was shred. Hope you know, if Jesus said this initially, his business acumen, we are lying to go and sell everything. No. That if this is what Jesus was said, and that is why I said, who schooled you when you gave your life to Christ? And you will sow seed and whatever. So your seed is motivated by the 100 times you will receive instead of by love. How many of you want to sow clinic and you quickly come out? I told them, this is a fantasy. Building church is a fantasy. If I quickly sow now, hey, let me see. So you are not turning the love of God to MMM. I be CBS. Which other one is really now? I be MBS. That one is the one that will come 2022. No! Jesus did not push what he will receive first. Jesus tests his heart first. If I give to God, there is the part that truly God will give me back. It's deal. It's just like going, you are saying you are doing business. It's not a good example. It's not a perfect example. You are doing business and they say you are going to receive a profit. And I say, no. I just love the business. How many of you love business so much that you don't want to make profit? Say, no, I just love the business. There are two things. There is the job, there is the work. There are some of us that are doing what we love to do by privilege, and it also becomes our job. So we are doing it and we are paid. Why there are some people that are doing what they don't love to do? Just because they want to be paid to go and get what they would love to do. This one in context, actually, when it comes to giving, your giving first must be on the strength of your love for God, not on what you receive back. That was where that man failed. Because if they are presented to him that, hey, anything you give the poor, if you give them money now, you will still receive it. I'm telling you, the guy will even say, please, where is the direction of the poor? Show me. Where? Take all you have. The Bible says he went back away sad. So that means that the kingdom of God that he was looking for was not actually his priority. It was business that was his concern. So hope you know some of you are serving God now because you want immunity. You want to be immune against trial. Some of you are not paying tithes because you love God. You are paying tithes because of the devourer. They have taught you in church, which is also correct. They have taught you in church that the devourer is going to say, then you are afraid. Then you quickly say, if I not pay it now, hey, thank God, if you come paying my tithe, I don't have us then. If you come whatever, I know whatever. Hey! Who told Joseph not to sleep with Potiphar's wife? There was no law, actually. It was his fear for God, his love for God that sponsored that. So this man here failed to receive 100% in this present age. And now, look at it. After Jesus has said he will receive, he said, in this and in the age to come, eternal life, which was the question he asked. That what can I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, if you give in this present age, you have 100%. Now, if you have 100%, you are not going to only enjoy in this age, you are also going to enjoy in the age to come, eternal life. So, what it implies that for a rich man, what happened is that, and that's why I say, I am rich. God has blessed me. Oh, by privilege. But I am going to make heaven. Because I will not, it's not a substitution I'm doing. I'm not doing either or, I'm taking both. Eternal life. I want to show you something. I want to show you another thing. Give me John 10 from verse 17, very quickly. Are we getting blessed or blessed? Love for. So one of the feedback that you're actually growing is that you have love for God. Now, please, can we read this together with me? Please, we speaking here, please. Hope you know this is Jesus. Are we still together? Why are we looking too distracted? Yeah, hope you know this is Jesus. All right, please, can you read this together with me? 2, 3, go. Wait, if in church they say, can we read this together? That means all of us should read. We are not meditating. Now, 2, 3, go. Can we read together? Wait. I thought they say unconditional love. It's unconditional love that got you saved. Let me help you. There is another love God reserves because you love him. So that I can explain some things to you now. Pastor Jerry, why God bless him? Why God bless him? My brother. I thought God said he loved the two of us. Yes. But the way me I love God, but you see when we get to heaven, is the blessing we receive on earth is going to be measured on the strength of the love we have for God back, not on the strength of the love God has for us. on the strength that God has for us is going to be for salvation. Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world. It did not say, for God so loved his sons. Love the world. Sinners alike, including unbelievers. God loved them. That is agape. That is unconditional love. Now, this is still the same Bible. The Bible is not saying the reason. And this is Jesus speaking. Anything that has reason is not unconditional. There is condition. He said, for this reason, a man shall live. And I've often said it. If a man does not have any reason to leave his parents, he should stay there. Then he has left and he has not left. He lived, but he did not cleave. He's now moving to and fro. So Jesus is saying that unconditional love exists, yes. But there's another love that has reason. Jesus is not saying, the reason my father loves me. Yeah? Yeah? He said, the reason my father loves me is that I laid down my life only to take it up again. Wow. Wow. In the Bible.
God.
Some of you, let me help you. It's only mouth you are used to love God. The labor dimension is lacking. There is no reason. You are the only one that know you love God. And even God, even you know you do not love God. You are just acting. Labor dimension, zero. The reason my father loves me is because I laid down my life to take it up again. Assuming this is the only place we will have issue. Another place again. In Psalm 91 verse 14. Very quickly. Psalm 91 verse 14. Please, can we read this together? Because it says, Please. Because it's what? Because is it unconditional? Anytime you introduce because in any sentence, it means that it has conditions. So how can God be saying, because he loves me, says the Lord. Is the Lord I say, no, I will rescue him. I will protect him. For he acknowledged my name. What the scripture is telling us is that there is the love God has for the whole world. But one of the signs that you are actually growing, one of the feedback of growth actually in the body is that your love for God can also be measured. And it is seen in the labor. In your commitment, in the eyes of you are sitting now, AC is blowing you. Can you back it, Sophie? And then some people are walking tirelessly. I have said it before. It is only in the body that somebody will feel convenient not serving his master. And some people, by the reason of what they are doing in church, they have moved it to their marriage, their relationship. They allow one person to be taking carrying the load. You see, when it comes to relationship, it's true. The two people are bringing 100%. Not 50-50, 100%. Anything that is working, there are two people working it. Any marriage that is working, there are two people working it. They are not really willing to work anything. Say, you love me. Say, you love me. You too, God. Say, you love me. What have you done? For love. Say, you love me. Say, whatever. Let me show you another scripture, actually. So that you understand that there is love for God. There is love for God. Somebody say, love for God. One of the indicators that you are growing spiritually is going to show your love for God. It's going to show your love for God. That all of us are asking you to calm down. And yet you are blinded by that love. You are going late to places. You just throw anything at God. I do not give offering as a result of them saying, hey, let's pass the offering basket. No! I give it as a result of my love for God. My honor for God. Hi. I love the Lord. Have I caught any scripture? Eh? All right. Glory to God. Are we getting blessed or blessed? Holy Spirit, help us. The second question actually I want to ask. I've asked the first one. What is the first question? The second question actually is, what are you not ready to do because you love the Lord? Because it's easy for you to be doing things because you love the Lord. But what are you also not willing to do because you love the Lord? Ask Joseph. Because you love the Lord, what are you not willing to do? Somebody say love for God. Now give me Malachi very quickly as I begin to bring this teaching to a close. Malachi. Malachi chapter 3 from verse 16 very quickly. And then I need Malachi chapter 1 from verse 6. Very quickly, as fast as we can be. Please. Please, can we read this together? Wait. Before you read this, actually, let me give you this definition, actually. I said, when it comes to genuine love for God, number one is going to be on, this is what it means to love God. Number one is going to be on the strength of your honor for God. Number one. So when you say you love God, it's going to be number one, on the strength of your honor for God. Number two, on the strength of your fear for God. On the strength of your fear for God. And then fear for God is actually classified into two. There is dread and reverence. Reverence, rather. There is dread, D-R-E-A-D, and reverence. Now, because that is what will allow you to understand this one that we are reading. But let's read it together, please. 2, 3, go. Then those who do what? So in context, what is this scripture saying? Those who fear the Lord, what did they do for God? That means they what? They love the Lord now, right? I said love for God actually is classifying to number one, honor for God. Number two, fear for God. The fear of God. Now, the fear of God has the dread dimension and the reverence dimension. This is what it means. How many of you have ever heard the word erolombami? Now, the erolombami is not in context of like God is a devil. No. It's in context of anything I'm doing has consequences because God is a just God. See, you get. So, you know that if I sin now, number one, I have love for God. That one is reverence. That is, I will not do this. You are not even thinking of the consequence that comes. But there is, the consequence cannot call you back to reverence. That is the dread. That is, a roll on by me. I can't do this. Hey, I can't. So, because most times, it's not just going to be on the strength of reverence. Reverence for God. That is, you have almost done interpretation of Ogun for God. Then God is wondering, Michael, tell me, you say, hey, you know, you say, hey, me. So now there is that dread that, hey, I fear God. There is consequence for anything I want to do. That was what was lacking in Samson's life. Yeah, there was not. He did not know that there was consequence for all the things he was doing. See, you get all of a sudden, one spirit of God will just land on him. He will go and misbehave. One spirit of God will land on him so much so that he has taken for granted the dread of God, the fear of the Lord, because what somebody was running away from, he was running towards it. Because let me help you. The grace of God. Hope you know that because this lack of dread of God, some people have come up with some theory that when they get to heaven, that God is a merciful God. He loves us. He will not put any person in their fire. Then somebody now came up with a theory that this is what he's going to do. He's going to so much sin and make sure you offend God that God, when God is trying to judge him, God is going to be so angry. And then when God wants to throw him, God will throw him above a fire so that he will go and stay on the other side. You know, that person has been brainwashed. Because there's a theory that's ongoing that God, a loving God. How can a loving God in the camp of a sinner not kill all of us? My brother, that dread dimension will make you know that God is a just God. So the love for God that you have, there's the dread that I cannot be sitting down at home where service is ongoing. Or I cannot be sitting at, consequences for these things I'm doing. It will show. Ero Olorun ba en ti e. Ori altar lo tin kiss sister. Hope you know that people have turned to profanity because of the lack of the dread of God. That they brought to profanity, they open the Bible and say this thing, the Lord produced, and they drop it and match it. That is profanity. You see, profanity is another sin on its own. So, without the dread of God, you will treat as profane holy things. That there is no fear of God in your heart at all. It's just a reference for God. Lift up holy hands with a holy heart and a pure heart. And you are singing off key. Yet they call you Jerry Keys. So he said, those who fear the Lord talk with each other. And the Lord listened and heard. He said, a scroll of remembrance and all of that concerning those who fear the Lord and did what? So when you hear love for God, you see the fear of God and the honor of God go alongside that love. Yes, they go hand in hand. Next verse, very quickly, because of our time. He said, they will be mine, says the Lord Almighty. In the day when I make up my treasure possession, I will spare them just as in comparison. Wait. Just as in comparison, this Bible is already telling us, please, where are we coming from? From the love for God, which is in what? In fear and honor. He's not saying that now a time is coming when I need to make decision between who to spare. Look at it. He said, just like I will spare them, just as in comparison, a man spares his own son who serve him. Now, please, hope you know the two people are his son. And yet, God is not saying that, okay, if I need to make a decision, I will actually make a decision for those that love me. I will make it towards those that love me. That is what the scripture is actually saying. Next verse, because you see in next verse. He said, and you will again see the distinction between who? The righteous and the wicked. That is the first category. That is, if God needs to choose between the righteous and the wicked. The righteous person already enjoyed the love for the world. For the whole world. So the righteous person in this context. So if God says, I need to choose between two people now. He's going to be on the strength first of the ones I love. That is, and I've reciprocated it by accepting my son. Hope you know the Bible says they already stand condemned that they did not accept the son. Are we on the same page? The love God gave, they did not respond to it. In that, okay, after between the righteous now, this is what I wish to judge. Between the righteous, those who serve God and those who do not. Hope you know a wicked man cannot serve God. Oh, so that means that there are two kinds of decisions here, for the wicked and the righteous, and then among the righteous. Have we caught his decision between those that serve me and those that do not? And even Jesus said, he said in John chapter 10 verse 17, I read the other time, he said, the reason my father loves me is that I lay down my life and pick it up again. What can God point to for his basis of loving you? Apart from the generic love he has towards the whole world. Is one of the feedback of spiritual growth. Love for God. I'm praying for you. Your honor for God will be on fire. In the name of Jesus. I need to bow your head. Once I bring this teaching to a close already. I don't know areas where it's not showing that you love God. Or that God loves you. Especially, you are struggling in areas where God has given you an instruction to go and obey him. This meeting is for you. I need you to go back to your first love. For you to go back to your first love, you must go back to your first labor. And as you are seated, don't sing, just pray.
Majeko bolowo mi.
What I'm hearing in my spirit is that some of you, we have to make the intentional love now. You have to start committing again. I didn't know what go wrong. I didn't know what went wrong. But now God is calling you back to your first love. He said, nevertheless, I have this against you. Because you have left your first love. If you left your first love, that means you left your first labor. Some of you know when you gave your life to Christ, this is not how you were doing. Now you do occasion, you do your devotion occasionally. God keep panting and keep calling to you. This is the time to go back and drop off all those nonsense and retrace your way back. And retrace your way back. God is calling you back to your first love. Yes, some of you will need to make that heart desire, heart cry, and say, Father, I'm willing to go back to my first love again. I'm willing to go back to my first love again. Is that you are praying? Pray. Pray. For in Jesus' mighty name have we pray.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope you've been blessed. This is The Building Church. Our core values are spiritual growth, service and impact, personal development, honor, excellence, love work, faith, family life, and societal transformation. And our pillars are the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, prayer, and reaching out. Join us for our Sunday Glorious service at 8 a.m. and our midweek service every Wednesday by 5:30 p.m. at The Building Church behind Bekadim's Tanke Okyodo, Ilorin, Kwara State. Please follow us on all social media platforms at The Building Church. Stay blessed.